So today we have a special guest speaker. Eric White and I are going to be sharing the pulpit. And I'm excited about Eric. I've met Eric in 2017, and I will never forget the call I got from him. He called me and told me that he was in Virginia, and he's coming to Queens, and he wanted to be a part of our campus ministry. And Eric said he wanted to work with me to help build up the campus ministry in Queens. And what moved me was, here is this young man who was coming to Queens, and he was offering himself to serve. You know, Eric did exactly what he said he wanted to do. We worked together, and over the years, Eric and I got to know each other better. God used Eric in a powerful way to carry the message of the gospel to others. Eric was also very helpful in developing the initial concepts of our campus student initiative. And the first time we launched CSI was in 2017. And Eric is now in the singles ministry in Brooklyn, and I'm honored that he has come to Queens this morning to share his experiences. So let's please give Eric a big, warm welcome. So all you have to do to advance the slide is just press, right? Okay. So this is the slide here, if I go here, right? So very simple. Do your thing, bro.
Well, thank you guys for having me speak. I want to give a big shout out to Sean. As he said, my name is Eric, and I have the privilege and honor to be sharing you guys with my experience about CSI. And I want to start off with an opening scripture. If you guys could turn to Matthew 9:37. And it reads, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Again, what an honor to be here to talk to you guys. And I want to share a brief intro about me and, you know, how I, you know, became a Christian. Back in 2014, I was just about to start college. I was 19 years old, young, and honestly didn't know where life was going to take me, right? Like most of us. And it was a very random day, right? Just playing volleyball at a park with my friends, and that's just what we did because we lived in Virginia, really not much to do. Lived in a big city in Chesapeake. And a young married couple had came to us, and it was about to, you know, park's about to close. So then, you know, chatting with the husband, we got acquainted, and we exchanged numbers, and you know, I'll never forget that day. And I'm thinking we're gonna play hoops, we're gonna play video games, do whatever. But I'm working one day, and I'll never forget it. It's my first job. I'm working at a fast food Italian restaurant, and I get a text. And, you know, we're talking throughout the day, and, you know, he asked me a random question. You know, would you be interested in studying out the Word of God? And I was taken aback because no one has ever asked me that before. And me thinking I knew a little something about the Bible because I was raised up in the church, I said, yeah, let's do it. So we ended up having Bible studies. I had the region leader at the time, rest in peace, Phil Booker. And the brother, the married brother that was in the study, and I had the campus leader at the time who led a Bible talk was there. And what I learned was that I was very humbled. I didn't know nothing about the Bible as I thought I did. And so throughout those Bible studies, I studied the Bible for 3 months. And throughout that time, I'm just thinking in my head, like, I want to get right with God. I want to be right with God. And looking back at a 19-year-old, you know, I wasn't supposed to be here. But because God sent somebody to me, that was purposeful, right? With the understanding that God wanted me to be in heaven. He wanted me to be saved. And so those 3 months, very impactful, cutting to the heart, learning about where I was at. I was headed to the path of destruction. And there was no in between. It's either you're with God or you're with the world. And I wanted to learn how to be countercultured against the world. And so I had the understanding that Jesus came here to save our souls. And me at 19 years old making the biggest decision of my life and the best decision of my life, right? And so, thank you. And so November 19th, 2014, I confessed Jesus as Lord. And here I am standing here today to you guys, confessing that Jesus is definitely Lord. And it hasn't been an easy journey. It hasn't, to be honest. But what I can say is that I have the encouragement of others in the church. And I have to say, Queens has been a big part of that. You know, when I was in Virginia, and I lived in Virginia for 7 years and been a part of the Hampton Roads Church for a while. And, you know, my family, immediate family, is from New York City. So I wanted to do something different. And so I took a leap of faith by God and prayed on it. And I said, I want to go to Queens, live with my dad and, you know, my family. And so he brought me here. And as Sean said earlier, I'll never forget it, you know, having a conversation with him on the phone. And I was just telling him, I want to come to Queens. It's been on my heart. And I talked to Rob Novak. Rob Novak got me in touch with Sean, and we had a conversation. And July 31st, this is when, I believe, yeah, 2017, this is when CSI got kicked off and was launched. And so looking back, it's a blessing to have been a part of that, you know, a part of that journey to help build up the Queens Campus Ministry. And as Robin mentioned, we had Daniil as an intern, Nina Cinco, Daniel Georges, you know, Sabrina Testi, and the list goes on and on. And we worked together. You know, we worked together going on through campuses. I remember St. John's, we would have CSI, Queensborough Community College, Queens College, you know. And like, as I shared in the scripture, you know, the workers were few. You know, we weren't like a big campus ministry, but we did what we had to do. And that was by God, because he blessed us, right? He used us as workers to go plant in his harvest field, whether that was Queens College, whether that was Queensborough Community College, or whether that was St. John's, right? He was using us and guiding us through those campuses to help, you know, others that was lost. And I have to say, what inspired me the most about CSI is that, you know, it wasn't really how God used me. It's how much of an impact he used me to make on others throughout campuses, right? And through Bible talks and Bible studies, I got to meet a lot of young men and women that, you know, study the Bible and wanted to have a relationship with God, wanted to know that understanding, right? And it took the campus, it took us as God's workers, right, to help, you know, those young men and women that wanted to study the Bible. And I remember the Bible studies. I remember, you know, walking on campus, you know, CSI, summertime. You know, I just prayed to God before, you know, we went out and share our faith to, you know, invite people out to our Bible talks. You know, ask God at least one person. At least have one person come, right? And not only did one person come, three people would come. And then five people would come, right? And that was designed by God, right? That was his purpose. And throughout those studies, we were able to baptize a few men and women at that time. And as my brother Tristan shared in the beginning, you know, God, he uses us in all many different ways. There's no age limit. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at in life. But if you said yes to God, He wants to use you in many different ways. And I have to say, I'm proud of the Queens campus. I'm proud of everybody here. I remember it wasn't just Queens campus, but I remember some people who, you know, would take time off or had time off. You know, it wasn't singles, marriage. You guys would come and help us. I remember Sean and Robin coming to campuses and helping us out. You know, and I'll never forget those times that I had. And, you know, quite honestly, it made a lot of memories for me, you know, being a part of the Queens campus, you know, and going out there and sharing our faith, going out there and helping others. And I have to say that I am thankful by God to be standing here in 11 years as a disciple. I just turned 31 on Friday. And I was 22 years old when I came to Queens with an ambition, as Sean said, to help grow this ministry. And just because I left and went to Brooklyn doesn't mean I'm not a Borough Lover. You know, I told Sean, I made a joke earlier that I'm a limited time offer, but since we go way back, I'll give you guys 50% off. No, I'm just kidding. But I am truly grateful to be here to talk to you guys and talk about CSI on Campus Sunday, right? And I'm always thankful for you guys to have me back and talk and help out. And some scriptures I thought about when Sean had asked me to help, you know, and preach an introductory and to help promote CSI, I just wanted to share some scriptures of encouragement. And the first scripture I wanted to share is James 1:2, right? Consider it pure joy, brothers, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that he testing of your faith produces perseverance. And I wanted to share 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. And God, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And another scripture I wanted to share, my last scripture, is 1 Corinthians 12:12-30. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And then you move on. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so I shared those scriptures as encouragement. And I was just thinking through, and I was like, man, a lot of those scriptures really hit home to me because, you know, we're in this together. Whether we're in Brooklyn, whether we're in Bronx, whether we're in Manhattan, we're in this together. And again, I can only thank God for bringing me here to Queens because this is where it started for me. And it's an ongoing journey as we do have a Queens campus ministry that is striving to be excellent. So I encourage all of us this morning in our campus ministry in Queens here is that stay encouraged, you know, spur one another on, you know, because we have each other. And I want to thank you guys for letting me share. And I'll hand it back to Sean. Thank you, guys. God bless.
All right, let's give it up for Eric White. Amen. Thank you, Eric. Eric has been a breath of fresh air ever since he came. So I was doing some research, and you know, there are a lot of students on campuses in Queens. You look at Queens College, 19,700, St. John's University, over 19,000, Queensborough Community College, over 8,000, almost 9,000, and York College, 6,174. So those are the four top colleges in the borough of Queens, and their student population is over 54,000. How many of you went to one of these colleges? Just raise your hand. There we go. There we go. Give yourselves a hand. Come on, man. And students go to these colleges in the hope of gaining knowledge, acquiring skills, and the vision is that they would go on and contribute to the workforce. They would go on to become the future leaders of corporations and educational institutions. They would go into politics, and they would make contributions to lift up the communities and the nation that they are in. But there are serious problems on the college campus. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism reports that harmful and underage college drinking are significant public health problems, and they exact an enormous toll on the lives of students in campuses across the United States. Drinking at college has become a ritual that students may see as an integral part of their higher education experience. Some students come to college with established drinking habits, and the college environment can lead to a problem. Alcohol misuse, and particularly binge drinking, can pose serious health and safety risks, including property damage, car crashes, drunk driving arrests, sexual assaults, violence, injuries, and death. Studies also suggest that alcohol misuse and alcohol consumption have a negative impact on academic performance. Substance abuse. The American Addiction Centers reports this, that substance misuse is unfortunately common among college students and can result in a range of academic, physical, mental, and social problems. One study found that nearly half of participating college students met the criteria for at least one substance use disorder. young adults aged 19 through 30 had historically high prevalence levels of cannabis, vaping cannabis, and nicotine and hallucinogen use. This is all happening on our campuses. Sexual assault. The American Psychological Association reports that sexual violence occurs when someone is forced into unwanted sexual activity without consent. Sexual violence is a significant health and human rights concern. It has extensive negative mental and physical health consequences. Campus sexual assault makes up the greatest proportion, 43%, of total on-campus crimes in the United States, resulting in approximately 8 forcible sex offenses per 10,000 students. Suicide. The Suicide Prevention Resource Center reports this. Suicide is a leading cause of death among college and university students in the United States. In addition, many other college and university students have suicidal thoughts and attempt suicide. Suicidal behaviors are a major concern for colleges and universities, and efforts are underway to introduce suicide prevention programming on many college and university campuses. Currently, there is no single study in the United States that compiles and analyzes suicide data. However, based on reported incidents, as many as 7.5% of undergraduates have seriously considered suicide, and as many as 1.2% of undergraduates have actually attempted suicide. While those percentages seem to be low, we have to keep in mind that this is a human life that has entered a campus environment, and within that environment has developed the mindset of self-destruction. The question now is, how should we as a community of believers respond to this information? In Mark 16, Jesus commanded his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He commands us to go into all the world, whatever that world might look like. And we as disciples must have the courage to go into the world of the modern campus student. Our aim is to become all things to all students, so that by all possible means, we might be able to win some. Our efforts spring from a genuine love and concern for the spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being of the college student. What is Campus Summer Initiative, or CSI? What are we trying to accomplish? In essence, we are trying to carry the message of the gospel to the men and women who are in the college environment. We're going to try to meet them and get to know them. We're going to try to engage in conversation about their belief system. And we're going to try to introduce them to Jesus as portrayed in the Bible. The message that most students hear is this: do what everyone else is doing, otherwise you won't fit in. We aim to give them a different message. And in our work with the student population, what we have discovered is that many students are unaware about the teachings of Jesus. They do not know Jesus' stance on alcohol consumption. They have never heard Jesus' stance on sexual behavior. Nor do they understand the power of sinful desires in the heart and how they influence self-destructive behavior. So that's the work that we are committed to doing. And these are some pictures that we had a CSI kickoff, and that was at Rathaus, and there's Daniil. These are some pictures of us at Queensborough Community College. We would just go and meet people who were in the cafeteria and talk with them. Here's some here's some conversations going on. And we would invite them to Bible talk. And we would sit down and have Bible talks there. And at that table, you might make him out. There's our very own Reggie Coleman. Right there on the you see his face? Yeah, that's Reggie Coleman. And this is the inspiring thing about CSI, is that we're asking anyone who's available, who want to participate, who want to help. And what inspired me is that we had teachers like Reggie who had a flexible schedule during the summertime, and he came and helped. We had retired people come and help. We had nurses who had a flexible schedule, and they came and helped. So anybody that had a dream and that wanted to be used and that was available, obviously, we welcome your help, because you have no idea how God may use you. We also had campus retreats, and that was a picture of the Queens campus ministry back in the day. And then we have some Kalindo, some how cute photos that my wife sent to me. So these are some of the beautiful women who are on campus. And there we go. There's Robin and Daniel. How cute. And then this is Sabrina. This is Sabrina at her baptism. We met Sabrina. She was in the cafeteria. She was a high school student, actually. And she studied the Bible, and Robin shared about her earlier. She's your sister in Christ. And this is another guy who we cannot easily forget, our very own Jonathan Santiago. He was also met during Campus CSI, and that was at his baptism. So these are just some pictures that I wanted to show to encourage you and to ask you to pray for us as we launch our Campus Summer Initiative. We want to try to show students that there is another way. We want to try to show students that Jesus teaches that it's possible to actually have fun without feeling ashamed. Can I get an amen? And many of us here can attest that the most influential person they met during their college years was Jesus. Please stand if you came to Christ while you were a college student. Just take a moment. I want to just acknowledge. Please stand if you became a Christian during your college years. I want to thank all of you for your faithfulness throughout the years. This is what the campus ministry has produced. Here's what Paul told the church in Philippi. He says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In the text, Paul spoke of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. I was met by disciples when I was a 24-year-old student at the University of Toronto. At the time, I was studying economics and commerce. One day I was met by two college students, a young man and woman, and they invited me to an event that the Toronto church was hosting. I gave them my number, and it was eventually passed on to Marty Udall, who at the time was a campus minister. Marty eventually called me and invited me to a personal Bible study. It was these Bible studies that exposed my mind to the deep, eternal truths of God. I came to a greater understanding of Jesus and his love for me. I came to understand the power that sin had over me. I was enslaved to pornography and sexual sin. I was filled with hatred towards my father, and I had absolutely no idea that the choices I made damaged my relationship with God. I did not learn these deep truths in my economics or accounting classes, but the things I learned from these Bible studies altered the entire trajectory of my life and saved me from moral decay. And so I stand with the Apostle Paul, and I say that I've come to understand the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And I know that I'm not alone. I know that many of us feel deeply that Jesus has lifted us out of the depths of despair. He has freed us from the bondage of sin and has given us new life. This is the message that we want our campus students to hear. Those who have been elevated by Jesus have a responsibility to elevate others. And it is with a sense of moral responsibility and spiritual resolve that we kick off our 2026 Campus Summer Initiative. Amen. Amen. We are humbled that God would want to use us for this great cause. We offer ourselves first to Him in the hope that He would use us as instruments to proclaim the truth of Jesus to a dying generation. Amen. Amen. Please.